Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy and Joe. Collectively, we are Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here, too. Friday edition, getaway edition of Jeremy and Joe. Lots to talk about today. Get into some Astros. Probably not going to have a lot of Astros talk over the next, I don't know, while. Although the baseball playoffs are going on. Baseball missed a great opportunity to play baseball today, though, by the way. Like, there's nothing on today. I mean, you have a couple of college football games on. You don't have the full slate. You don't have NFL on. They play Thursdays. They play Sundays. They play Monday. There is nothing really on television tonight in the sports world. Why didn't Robert Manfred have playoff games today?
It's a great question, honestly, Jeremy, because I look at like the schedule. Just all you have to do is push everything back a day. Like have the American League wildcard series start to where, you know, if there was, well, you know, game threes, there's only the National League yesterday. And then start the ALDS today. Instead, you're starting both games on Saturday, between all four games on Saturday. But then the National League's even off on Sunday. So, like, it's strange how they do the schedule. I feel like baseball always just kind of shoots themselves in the foot. But you're right. They should be playing today. If they were not going to play a certain day, you wouldn't play on Sunday when the NFL's happening.
No. They could have moved it back a day and then also had game 163. Squeeze that right in there. And then you get all this extra content. I should pretty much be the commissioner of baseball. I would drive up the content in Major League Baseball for sure. I think I'd be better at Robert Manfred's job than Robert Manfred. But anyways, just me getting off my soapbox there. We'll get into a lot of the NFL stuff going on. Our betting game, which we have a convincing clubhouse leader in our betting game. We'll get into that later. We're still workshopping a name. But, you know, we'll hand you picks. The 9-pack, maybe. I don't know. Bad Take Boulevard coming up a little bit later. What are the biggest college football games of the weekend? And we might bring back a familiar game a little bit later. We'll see. We'll see if we get to it. I don't know if everybody really want to get to it. But maybe a familiar game. Maybe a familiar game coming up later. And then, of course, Ravens and Texans. You got Lamar Jackson's career being wasted, some say. You got C.J. Stroud being body shamed. Or he body shaming himself? I don't know. And then who's going to call defensive plays on Sunday when the Texans visit Baltimore to take on the Ravens? But first, this Thursday night football game yesterday, Joe, I'm a little peeved. I'm a little grumpy. I'm not happy about the way that things played out here. I had the Rams as my survivor pick of the week, which this is like my luck. Like how many ways did the Rams lose that game yesterday? Their kicker missed 2 kicks in regulation, including an extra point. Game went to overtime. Make one of those kicks, and your boy is surviving and advancing in Survivor. Kyren Williams fumbles at the 1-inch line. There is no such thing as that, but he fumbles 1 inch away from the goal line. The Rams are dropping a pick that led to a field goal, and then Sean McVay, an offensive mastermind, calls a terrible play on 4th down. His words, not mine. He said he's going to have to live with that decision, and it was a terrible decision, Sean McVay said about Sean McVay's call. Rams found a way to lose this game, and I think they did it just to spite me.
Oh, just because of you, Jeremy.
Yes,
it's all for you.
Spite me. I say a lot of bad things about L.A. I don't love L.A. I don't like the teams in L.A., although I do like McVay a lot, although a little bit less today. I think they did this to spite me on Thursday Night Football, Joe.
I mean, it's an awful play call. I love the decision to go for it there. Forget going for a tie. Ties are stupid. They shouldn't exist. I'd rather put the ball in my quarterback's hands. I mean, that throw he made on that drive was incredible. I mean, he rolls out. Throws a dart to Tutu Atwell. I don't know how you don't have Matt Stafford throwing the ball there, Jeremy. Like what are we doing? And I know he acknowledged it right after the game, but what about in the moment? You're going to give the ball to a guy who already fumbled on, as you said, the 1-inch line. Why are you running the ball in that situation? And the play and the design of the formation is crazy. There's two wide receivers essentially on the line of scrimmage with a tight end. Like, you're asking, you're going full Tank Dell here, asking him to block in a crucial situation. It's all bad there. I don't understand what Sean McVay was thinking in the moment last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we have a yard to gain. Like, we're better than you. I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But it's, you know, coaches think that way. We can get a yard. We can shove it down their throats for a yard. D'Amico Ryans did it against the Titans. He told Nick Cayley to call a quarterback sneak. Like, we can get a yard. Like, it's how they think. And look, like a light box, all that. Like, it took a fantastic play. I get it. You're right. I wouldn't have kicked the field goal there. What's the point of doing that? But the Rams lost yesterday's game. That said, you can't take anything away from San Francisco. They were, nope, playing in front of the home field yesterday. I say that in air quotations because it was in L.A., yet it felt like a San Francisco crowd. But they have tons of injuries. Their starting quarterback's not playing. Bosa's out. Kittle's out. Their top two receivers are out. They're having to rely on Kendrick Bourne and Mac Jones to carry them to victory. I feel like you specifically, because I think you might, yep, be the lowest of any of us on the Niners, you have to feel differently about the Niners today, don't you?
Yes. As the game was playing out yesterday, Jeremy, I was thinking, how much of Thursday's show do I want to walk back on Friday? Pretty much all of it. I mean, what they – like, Mac Jones is – he's hurt. He's dry heaving coming off the field at the end of the game.
He's losing his britches.
He's losing his britches. Like, Mac Jones is having the worst day possible, but also having a great day. I mean, he was impressive. Kendrick Bourne was a monster in this game. I definitely feel differently about them. You're concerned about the injuries, yes, but it shows they're such a well-coached football team that it doesn't really matter. They put the guys in the right position to win, and Mac Jones is looking the best he's looked since he was a rookie in the NFL with the Patriots, and he's looking way better than he was then. So, yeah, I definitely feel different about the 49ers. Maybe too different, like, honestly, where I'm like, maybe they shouldn't give the ball back to Brock Purdy different.
Okay.
At this point, I was so impressed with Mac Jones last night.
So are you there? Because I saw the streets talking about that. I saw that discourse out there.
I'm not fully there, but I'm close. Like, I want to see, I want to see if Mac Jones will get the opportunity. You know, as you know, Kyle Shanahan said after the game that Brock Purdy is still pretty week to week right now. You know, if Kittle comes back in week 7, like they're saying, and they start to get healthy, what does Mac Jones look like in this offense with a full squad? And mm-hmm. if it looks like this without those guys, you can let your imagination run wild a little bit about what it could look like. So I'm not fully there yet because I'd like to see, you know, a couple good games in a row before you bench a $50 million quarterback, and that's probably also almost impossible to do because, I don't know, that's tough to bench a guy who's making $50 million. But I'm getting close. Are you close to that? Are you open to the idea?
No, I'm not. No, I think Brock Purdy's a substantial amount better than Mac Jones. Now, I think Mac Jones is a good backup quarterback to have, and I thought Mac Jones handled it really well post-game. He's like, hey, is this your team? And he's like, no, this is not my team. I'm the backup quarterback. I'm just trying to win games. So whenever, you know, Brock comes back, we're in a good spot. I think Brock Purdy's better than Mac Jones. But I do think Mac Jones is a top 40 quarterback in the world, and you'd be lucky to have him as your backup. But what the take that I do have on it, though, is wait until Brock Purdy's 100%. Like, what is the what does Brock Purdy do that Mac Jones can't? Because I think they have, like, similar arm talent, things like that. Like, in the pocket, I think they're pretty similar to the same guy. Max, of course, a little bit bigger. Brock's a little bit smaller. But what does Brock have that Mac Jones doesn't have overall in his skill set?
I mean, maybe he's, like, a hair more athletic.
You think it's only a hair? I think that's so disrespectful to Brock Purdy.
You think is he that much more athletic than Mac Jones?
No doubt about it. Like, Brock Purdy moves well. Like, Brock Purdy moves very well. So, like, that's where he has an advantage over Mac Jones. That's an added element that he gives you that Mac Jones doesn't. But if Brock Purdy's battling through a toe and he has to give up that elusiveness, then it's kind of the same guy. So that's where I'm at with the whole Brock Purdy, Mac Jones conversation. It's no, Mac Jones isn't QB1 in San Francisco. But Brock Purdy, don't play through a toe injury where you can't move. Because whenever you're playing through a toe injury and you can't move, we already have that guy. We already have that guy that's you without being able to run around. So Brock Purdy, you go get 100%. Whenever you get your mobility back, whenever you can drive on that plant foot, that right toe, that's whenever you come back. I think that's what Mac Jones gets the San Francisco 49ers the luxury of, that your starting quarterback who has mobility doesn't have to play through an injury that limits his mobility. So I would just baby Brock Purdy back and make sure he's 100% before he's playing through injury. That to me is what Mac Jones does for me.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, because it's all you can do is make it worse. And if you're not a full believer in Mac Jones, like let's say at some point he isn't the quarterback that he showed us last night, you're going to want Brock Purdy back. You probably want him back anyways, even though I'm not as high on him as I think a lot of other people. But you probably do want him in the long-term thing. There's no point rushing a quarterback back. Like if you have, it's almost the polar opposite situation. I mean, I guess it is the polar opposite situation of what the Ravens are going through right now. The Ravens, without Lamar Jackson, if they lose this week and then they lose next week and they're 1-5, you kind of have to put Lamar Jackson on the field. You have to risk it to get him back out there to try to save your season. You know, whereas the 49ers, now with where they're at, even though their division is highly competitive, they have that breathing room where they can play Mac Jones for 3 or 4 more weeks or whatever it takes to get Brock Purdy fully healthy, because they're at minimum going to be a wild card team at this point. Even if Mac Jones falls apart, they're going to be a wild card team in the playoffs this year. And the goal at this point is just to get everyone back and ready to have a full roster by the playoffs. So I'm with you. Take your sweet time, Brock. Yeah. Don't rush it back. And there should be no urgency from the front office. And honestly, the more Mac Jones plays, the better it is. It's better for him. It's better for, I don't know, his full contract situation. But if he's locked up and he's playing like this, you might get some phone calls this offseason, Jeremy, about people asking about Mac Jones being a starter elsewhere if he plays like this. Like, he might be the next Sam Darnold or Geno Smith the way he's playing right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like his redemption tour. I don't know if he has years on his contract with the 49ers. I'd have to look. I pulled up his over the cap and it said he has void years. Oh, he agreed to a 2-year contract. So, 2-year contract, has some incentives. Next year's voidable, though, so they could get out of it if they wanted to. But why would you want to get out of it? Because he's looking pretty good, looking like a backup quarterback in the NFL. You're right. Yeah, I think you might be able to get calls in the offseason. Does San Francisco graduate into contendership status for you?
Yes, they do. I should have put them there yesterday. Lesson learned watching the game. And that's because of how highly I think of the Rams. Like, I think the Rams are up there within those top 3 or 4 teams in the NFC, you know, within the Lions. For me, it's the Eagles, the Lions, the Rams, the top 3 teams in the NFC. But the 49ers, the way they're playing right now, the way they played last night with the backup quarterback and all the injuries, I have to put them in there by default, I think.
Do you still think higher of the Rams than the Niners?
I guess my answer is no. I don't want it to be no, but trying not to live too much in the moment right now, I'd put the 49ers slightly in front of the Rams.
Interesting.
Just slightly.
See, I would actually I still think higher of the Rams, even though that they lost yesterday, even though it was a home game. I think the Rams beat the Rams more than the Niners beat the Rams. Not to discredit San Francisco and take anything away from San Francisco, but you fumbled the ball twice, once an inch away from the goal line. You dropped an interception, maybe even two. Your kicker missed 2 kicks in regulation of an overtime game, and you were still driving with a chance to win it, and then you made a bad call on 4th-and-1. I still think higher of L.A. than I do San Fran, while also not trying to talk down on San Fran. I know it's impossible to
do. That's
logical. You're saying the Rams are, like, better than the Niners, but that's actually what I believe. Puka Nacua, again, like, 10 catches, 85 yards. He's the first player in NFL history, Joe George, to have 50 catches through the first 5 games of the season. His pace right now is, like, at 170 reception pace. Not to be guy, but that's insane.
I think the record was 49 catches, and it was Cooper Kupp I saw last night through 5 games, so he passed that. Another former Matt Stafford guy. I mean, Matt Stafford just makes he's gotten lucky with receivers, but he's also done some amazing work from Megatron to Cooper Kupp to now Puka Nacua. Yeah, the conversation we had, I think it was earlier this week, about where he ranks in terms of the top receivers in the NFL. He definitely is easily in that top four conversation for me. I know you guys had him top three. I might be what ready to also admit I'm very wrong about him in front of CeeDee or behind CeeDee Lamb. Like what he does, because he does it. What impresses me is just how he does it everywhere. He's not a one trick pony. Not that CeeDee Lamb or these top five guys always are. Like they can do it in a little bit every way. But yep. Puka is just he's a mercenary. It feels like when he's on the field, you need something from him, it's there. And the thing with the Rams too last night though is like the 2-2 Atwell play. At the end of the game, he was also the guy who caught the big pass for a touchdown the previous week that they needed. He brings on just such a dynamic on the opposite side of Puka, just even though it's in very small doses.
Yeah.
But he's a big play guy, too. Puka's very, very good.
Yeah, I like Whittington a little bit, too, even though Al Michaels was calling him Whittingham over and over again. Like, I got Whittingham. He was calling Jordan Whittington Whittingham so much that I started to doubt myself. Like, I was like, am I the idiot? Am I the one?
I can't tell you how crazy
here?
That drove me last night.
I was convinced that I was, like, losing my mind. Like, I was like, certainly Al Michaels isn't wrong. He's got a spotting board right in front of him. Certainly they would correct him if he did it more than once. He said it, like, three or four times in about a 30-second span where I thought I was the idiot. No, it was Al Michaels. Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, by the way, are my least favorite big-time crew. Like, the top broadcasting team for a network, and I know it's a little different because it's Amazon Prime and it's Thursday and they don't get playoff games. I love Al Michaels. He's lost the fastball. We've been saying it for years. And, look, I like Kirk Herbstreit on college games, no matter how pretentious he is, because I think he's super pretentious. I love him in college games. I can't take him seriously in the NFL for some reason.
I don't think he – okay. It's you do a lot of work, Jeremy, right? At some point, but there has to be some level of prep that gets missed here. I mean, when you're, you know, you got two kids playing either college ball or high school ball still, you're doing game day, you're doing a game on Saturday, you're doing a game on Thursday. I don't enjoy it. I thought it was a weird hire when it first happened. Like,
yeah.
Like that's the guy you're going to put on Amazon Prime as a college football voice? That's the path you're going to take? I mean, I guess of the big crews, they're definitely my least favorite. But to be honest with you, like they're not that much far ahead of like the Texans' number one crew with Spiro and Archuleta.
See, I don't consider that a top crew.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think they're that much better than those guys.
Oh,
like, they're better, but
pack,
it's a yeah, like they're not a big time crew. It doesn't feel that way at all. I don't. I'm with you. It drives me nuts, like hearing these guys, whether it's Al Michaels last night, Carl Ravitch doing baseball games.
Oh,
like,
so bad.
That make these major mistakes, and it's just like, you have a roster in front of you.
Yeah.
How do you constantly get people's names wrong?
I don't know what it is. So the most receptions in a single season to Michael Thomas at 149. Does Puka break it?
And what's he at now?
51. 52 through 5 weeks. I mean, he's literally on over 170 catch pace. That's literal.
I think I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah.
I think my
answer
is
if he stays
yes.
healthy, it'd be a miracle if he doesn't. You know, if he plays in all 17 games at this point, it'd be a miracle if he doesn't break that record. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's officially official. Lamar Jackson has been ruled out by the Baltimore Ravens, so he will not play. They have a lot of guys that are out. Roquan Smith out. Kyle Hamilton questionable. This is on top of all the other injuries they already have. So there is that. 713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to today. A little Bad Take Boulevard. Matt Burke, is he going to call plays again? Who knows? Probably a little Willibits. The fix. The fix for the junkies. The betting game that we like to play. Top college games. Lots to get to. It's going to be a jam-packed show. 713-780-ESPN. You can find us on TikTok. He's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are at ESPN 97.5. YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitter, you can watch along ESPN 97.5. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We come back. Are the Ravens wasting Lamar Jackson's career? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Coming up on October 25th and 26th will be our first of four trips to ESPN Bet at LaBerge in Lake Charles. We're doing shows on Saturday and Sunday to check out basically the all-new ESPN, but it's the rebuild itself is still pretty new. It's really less than a year old. It looks incredible if you haven't had a chance to see it yet, all the ESPN bet branding. But they've also got a new VIP fan cave section that's available for bookings, new menu items along with a new chef. It's available to all ages now, so you can't obviously bet. You have to be 21 or older, but you can eat there. So if you've got family with you, you can bring them to the sportsbook now, which is brand new. Starting this last summer, they got barbecue offerings every Friday and Saturday. It's an incredible venue for UFC fights or for the playoffs, but specifically on college football Saturdays and NFL Sundays, it is a great environment to be in. All their odds are out for the World Series. The MLB playoff series for the NLDS and the ALDS are available right now, plus all their NBA season-long bets. Plus, you can do up to 20 leg parlays and earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play cards, and you can offer a chance to wager on all of their Houston area teams. Must be 21 plus to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
We'll get to the Lamar Jackson conversation in a moment. There's a thought out there that the Ravens are wasting Lamar Jackson's career. We'll discuss in a minute. Junkie on the text line, yeah, Rams defense got me minus 2 points. They blow. Yeah, I'm sorry for the loss, man. That's tough. That was a tough one. Tough one to swallow. Rams couldn't get out of their own way. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line for Julian. Julian, you're in the Junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Julian?
What's going on, gentlemen? Appreciate you having me on. I would rebuttal what you said, brother, with how about the 49ers caused those two fumbles? How about they blocked that kick instead of someone missing it? When Philadelphia blocked those two kicks, it wasn't like, oh, man, the Rams missed the kicks. It was like, oh, my God, Philadelphia blocked two kicks. I can't believe it. Now, with that being said, I think you're right. I think the Rams probably are a little bit above the Niners. Their weapons on offense are way more explosive. Their offensive line seems to have it a little bit better than us. We have no push up the middle. We have no kind of pass rush. I feel like this 4-1 is one of those most fraudulent 4-1s out there, and that's hard for me to say. You know what I mean? That's hard for me to admit. And another thing, I don't want us to go get a pass rush. I don't want us to go trade for some Hendricks guy, get $30 million on the books. You can't roll it over for next year. Now we're in cap hell all over again. But, yeah, that's all I got, brother. Y'all have a good one.
No, it's a good rebuttal, Julian. I'm just a little salty because I lost my survivor pick. You have to tip your cap, no doubt about it. That's why I was trying not to be too harsh on San Francisco, because that was a gritty win, man. Like, you were without your starter, you were without a bunch of those dudes, like a bunch of your dudes, and you go out there and you find a way to win. And your rebuttal is a good one. Now, hey, great play on the punch to knock the ball out. Kyron Williams got to be better, though, man. Like, you don't think that's a possibility? Like, you don't think that everybody's going to be punching at the ball? Like, hey, some guys, you know, other guys are getting paid, too. Other guys are on scholarship, too. But that's one where you have to make sure you hang on to the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point by Julian. I agree. It's a good peanut punch there by then, but collectively, like, if it was just that moment, I would be more willing to say, yes, it's just the 49ers. They took the game from the Rams, but the Rams made so many mistakes in this game. That's why I lean with you more that the Rams lost this game than the 49ers won it. But from the 49ers fan perspective, I get why he doesn't like that take very much.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go back out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're about to have the conversation. Are the Ravens wasting Lamar Jackson, his best years? Let's go out to the HRP listener line for Gary. Gary, you're in the Junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. Well, quick. I do not think, it's point blank serious, I don't think they're wasting them. I just think a couple mishaps every playoff, whether it's him careless with the ball or the tight end missing the ball. They're so close, but they're not wasting him away. They put the infrastructure around him. You're not going to have a top 10 defense every year, but you don't need a top 10 defense every year, because if the tight end catches the ball last year, they go on. If he doesn't fumble balls, they go on. That has nothing to do with, if anything, I mean, he's in lost weight last year, got in the best shape of his life. He's injured this year. Nobody talks about, is he losing weight or whatever this year? He still runs. He's one of the least injured quarterbacks in the league. There was a freak accident. I do not think that they're wasting him. I just think they're wasting their own moments and shooting themselves in the foot. And one other thing, you guys are the best, and I'm not sucking up on you guys, and I know you guys are not racist or anything. You're the best in the business on this station by far, and you guys tackle every situation. The LeBron James, I know it's different. When that lady told him a long time ago when he was talking about a matter, one of the co-hosts or a talk show lady, whatever, just shut up and dribble. That was a white female. Rex Ryan, I'm putting the two together because this is similar. Shedeur Sanders, what he did. I don't care what nobody says. For him to say that we got video proof that the guy is sitting up in the front row and he's throwing more than anybody, getting hurt, overthrowing, overuse, for Rex to conjure up those lies and just say, shut up. Do you see the theme there? Whether it's the white woman, not you guys, and not all white and all black, or it's a white man like Rex Ryan, telling black African-American athletes, just shut up and be quiet and work on the plantation. I know it's a different topic, but I know you guys tackle that topic. And no matter what you do or does, not to get fined or not, he can't win. So I tried to tackle all that in one. But that's the common theme among a lot of white, whether men or women. Not you guys. Shut up and bounce the ball, LeBron. Shut up and get in the front of the class, Shedeur. That's maddening. But have a great day.
Jeremy, you want to take that one?
Joe, you're the reactor after a call. No, I think Gary brings up good points. Look, I don't know enough about Shedeur.
It's a good point.
Like, I'm not at practices. I have no idea what Shedeur looks like. I don't think Shedeur showed the best maturity with the way that he handled the media the other day when he was miming things.
I agree
that it was a reaction to what Rex said. Did Rex cross a line there? Yeah, I think that's a fair point by Gary. I don't know why Shedeur was honestly speaking
with the media.
Well, I mean, they're speaking to the media because they're coming up to him. Like, he's sexy. Like, he's intriguing. People want to – it gets engagement. That's why.
No, I get why the media is doing it, but if I was the Browns, I guess you can't make players unavailable to the media. But, see, what it reminds me of what Shedeur's going through right now, and, like, while I think he could have handled that situation better, and I get why he did it and he reacted that way, it reminds me a lot of like when Tebow was with the Patriots, where it's unnecessary. He's the third string quarterback. Like, it's, and I don't know if it's semantics, but like he's not even the second string quarterback because they make a quarterback change. He's number three on the depth chart. He's a late round draft pick. It's the attention that a late round pick is getting is too much, and that's why it's similar to Tebow when he was a free agent signing with the Patriots who was blocking punts. Like, he was on the punt block team. Like, he was on maybe kickoff. He was a tight end with Jacksonville and being a distraction. And it's not Tebow's fault, just like it's not Shedeur's fault. But, like, if you're the Browns, he shouldn't be speaking with the media. He's a third-string quarterback.
Well, they open the locker rooms. Like, they open the – that's part of the NFL rule. They open locker rooms. He's in there. They're going to run up to him and try to get a quote because the moment that he gives you a quote or has any sort of behavior – and the reason I say behavior is because he didn't give you a quote the other day. He just acted like a mime – then it's going to go viral.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they do it. Like, we live in a world wherever we thrive and seek engagement, right? We know this. We live in a world where money is the most important thing. Like, I'm not going to go there. But money usually trumps everything else. Attention trumps everything else. Clicks trumps everything else, right? Like, we know that this happens, so why does Shedeur Sanders get the attention? Because of all those things. He sells more than their starting quarterback, Dylan Gabriel, or their backup, Joe Flacco. That's why he does that. I'm a bit – I wouldn't even say a bit. I am I'm over the subject of Shedeur Sanders because of, like, all the stuff you said, third-string quarterback,
agree.
All that. You know what I want, though? I want Shedeur Sanders to play. Like, I want his play to dictate the conversation of Shedeur Sanders. Whether he proves us all wrong and plays really good, it's like, okay, Cleveland might have a guy. Or he looks like a third stringer who you might not want to keep around because he's too big of a distraction. So I'm ready for the kind of, like, shut up and play. Not telling Shedeur to shut up, Gary. You know, I didn't mean that.
But I'm ready to get. I'm ready for him to be on the field.
No,
like,
I,
I'm tired. I'm tired of Rex Ryan quote like having an opinion on a third string quarterback. I'm tired of the attention given to a third string quarterback, not Shador, just the attention on a third string quarterback. I'm ready for him to go out and play.
Yeah, and I think he's going to. I'm pretty confident he's going to get a chance to play this year. I don't think Dylan Gabriel is going to be going out there and just, you know, convincing the Cleveland Browns that he's the quarterback of the future. And I know Myles Garrett's gassing him up pretty good and making it sound like he, you know, he's looks like he's been doing this for years. He's a veteran back there already. But we're going to see Shador play at some point this year. I don't think they'll ever go back to Flacco. I think that'd be a huge mistake. So if you're going to, you know, if Gabriel were to get hurt, I would put in Shador right away. And to me, the only reason why you wouldn't play him right now is if he doesn't know the offense, which is possible because he's not even running the scout team.
Well, I mean, Gabriel's going to get a
he's
runway.
Not,
he
he's
was
not
drafted
practicing.
Way earlier, though. Like, why wouldn't you give Gabriel a runway?
No, I'm saying, like, no, they should. No, they should give him, I mean, so what, there's 13 games left in the season? I mean, I'd probably give him an 8-game runway at least before, like, wanting to make the change and
he's
give
the guy
Shador
you liked
final
more.
Five games.
You liked Gabriel more than Shador. Like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you play Shador, Gabriel? You will for a while. He'll get a chance, and then maybe Shador will, depending on Gabriel's play. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. I think Jason has a rebuttal to Gary. Jason, you're in the junkyard. Jeremy and Joe, what's up? Did he just hang up? He just hung up. Jason,
yeah, he hung
there?
Up literally as I connected him.
Man, Jason got a little stage fright. Jason's like, uh-oh, they're coming to me. I'm not ready.
Apparently, probably, according to our intern, he was in the school pickup line, so I think we caught him right as he was getting his kid.
He was going to say some things he didn't want his kids to hear.
Yeah.
He was about to be reckless and decided not to do it in the pickup line.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the genesis of this segment. Are the Ravens wasting Lamar Jackson's career? 713-780-3776. And also, Gary, thanks for the compliments, man. We are the best. We are the best in the business. Are the Ravens wasting Lamar's career? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
You know what today it is, Joe?
October 3rd. October 3rd.
Big fetch chap.
On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
It's October 3rd. You mean Girls Guy?
Yes. It's a good movie.
You know. Not bad. Lindsay Lohan's making her return, by the way.
I don't know about you, Jeremy, but I didn't take Joe's answer sincere there.
Yeah, I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
It's a good movie.
I can't hear a word you're saying.
It's funny. Especially when she gets hit by a bus.
You've got to tell Joe. Whenever you lie, your signal breaks up.
Yeah, you sound like a robot. Robot Joe. My goodness. What are you? Are you an American Online or what?
Yeah, put in the next CD, pal.
Yeah.
Is it better?
No.
Is it better?
It's worse, I think, actually.
Same.
No. No, I think you need a hard reboot. That's what you need. 713-780-ESPN. While Joe tries to figure life out, we move on. Show must go on. 713-780-3776. Are the Ravens wasting Lamar's career? Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Ira, you're in the junkyard with just me right now. What's up, Ira?
Hey, how's it guys going? Look, you know, with Jackson, man, you know, I love watching him play. I love his evolution. You know, he would have been at least what, you know, when we were all on the VY hype, you know, that's what we had hoped VY would, you know, eventually kind of turn out to be, that type of quarterback. But, you know, timing is everything. And I think that Lamar just came in the wrong time, man. I mean, with Patrick Mahomes now being like the Brady of now, then you got Jared Allen, you know, right on his heels. And then, you know, some of the other little quarterbacks, my guy in L.A. With the Chargers and, you know, Burrow, you know, he got a top heavy four or five quarterbacks around him. Mm. who he's definitely going to have to try to compete with and win. And, you know, his window, you know, they opened him a little bit by getting Big Henry, you know, last year. You know, they had a good chance to get to the Super Bowl. Didn't make it happen. This year, the injury bug, you know, and jumped up and caught him. So, you know, unless the Ravens are able to retool and maybe get him a top-notch wide receiver to kind of extend his window, you know, you can see him being not saying of in the midst of the talent of Marino, like, but he could be one of the great ones that never get to a Super Bowl or get there and may not win. So I don't hope that for the fellow, man. I think the guy is golden. I mean, he's like really turned the evolution of kind of the quote-unquote running quarterback. Now he's able to read the pocket, and he's able to pass as well as he can run. So, you know, I wish the best for him, but, you know, as long as you still got Mahomes being the top dog and, like I said, the other quarterback that's right in his wheelhouse, it's going to be tough for him, man. So,
yeah.
You know, I wish the best for him.
Appreciate you, Ira. I think there's a lot of good thoughts there. Look, I've always been critical of Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, like running quarterbacks. I think they can be a bit reckless with the ball, although both have made tremendous strides at improving that. I can't continue to like ignore that. They've been a lot better at protecting the football. I still think they're reckless in critical times. I think there was examples of that last playoff, especially with Josh Allen. And Lamar Jackson was a victim of Mark Andrews. Like, Mark Andrews makes a play, Lamar Jackson advances, who knows what happens after that. I think that the narrative, though, and like this junkie texting in, 713-780-3776, Lamar Jackson is wasting Lamar Jackson's career. I wouldn't go to that point, but I think that the narrative of the Baltimore Ravens are wasting Lamar Jackson's career is flat out silly. Like, the Ravens are loaded. Like, yes, they have a tons of injuries right now, but have we ever looked at the Baltimore Ravens over the last 5 years and be like, oh, that's not a very good roster. That's not a roster that can compete. We've never said that about them. What do we say about their general manager, Ozzie Newsome? We say that Ozzie Newsome's one of the best general managers in the game. So the narrative that is going on that the Ravens are wasting away the best years of Lamar Jackson, sorry, I think is flat out stupid.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeremy, because like if I was going to make the argument that the Ravens are wasting his career, it would be, and we've seen this happen in the NFL, it would be because the Ravens aren't trying to put pieces around Lamar. They're not spending, you know, high draft picks on offensive linemen, on tight ends, on wide receivers, on running backs, or the free agency dollars on those positions as well. I mean, and really, nothing could be far from the truth. I mean, they spent a second-round pick on Mark Andrews, a first-round pick on Rashad Bateman. Now, that one hasn't worked all that great, but they still are trying. Obviously, a first-round pick on Zay Flowers. I believe a first-round pick on Hollywood Brown. Obviously, spent free agency money on Derrick Henry. Like, they've efforted, I believe, a first-round pick on their center, Linderbaum, as well. So, like, the Ravens have attempted to put a lot of pieces around them, and for the most part, other than Bateman, they've all pretty much hit. If anyone would be to take the blame for the maybe coming under expectations, that would be Lamar, to me, not the Ravens.
Yeah, I think it's a silly narrative. I think it's okay, they're struggling right now. Let's come up with these hot takes. Because when have we looked at a Ravens roster and been like, yeah, that's less than? Last year they bring in Derrick Henry. They bring in Derrick Henry. They spent a first on Zay Flowers. I know DeAndre Hopkins is long in the tooth, but they bring him in to be their number three receiver. They pay two tight ends with Andrews and like, and their defense is loaded when healthy. When healthy, their defense is loaded. Junkie on the text line, filling Friday. No. However, Caserio is going to weigh Stroud's rookie contract with his tracing paper O-line. See, maybe there
just
are
keep
opinions.
Asking good questions and don't ask dumb questions.
Maybe our perspective it changes because we see, like, okay, well, here's a rookie contract of C.J. Stroud. That might be wasted. And we look at the Ravens, like, complaining about that and think it's comical, thinking that it's a joke.
You want to see wasted? Look at our roster, brother.
Junkie on the text line, they're a perennial playoff AFC championship team. Are they a playoff team with Cooper Rush? No.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, but I don't know if that really – implies anything.
Yeah, I don't know what the point would be
this
made
argument.
There.
Like, I don't think that Ozzie Newsome has failed Lamar Jackson at all. Like, I think he's helped Lamar Jackson.
I guess that guy's trying to make the argument that the roster around Lamar's not that great because another quarterback couldn't take it to the playoffs. But put Cooper Rush as the starting quarterback on the other 31 teams in the NFL. Yeah. How many teams would we say, oh, well, they're a playoff team if we swapped in Cooper Rush for their current quarterback? Not many.
We think that C.J. Stroud's currently like the 15th best quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
Like we had this conversation the other day. Where is he at? Somewhere between like 14 and 17, whatever. That's middle of the pack. If C.J. Stroud was the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, do we think that's a playoff team?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And we're not putting down Lamar. Like, we think Lamar's top two, top three. We're really putting down the take of, okay, you're inserting backup quarterback and expecting that to be a playoff team,
right.
And you're acting like Lamar Jackson's elevating them to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Lamar's a top three quarterback. No argument about it. But Ozzie Newsome has not failed him with the supporting cast around him. And you know one other thing? When you have a top two, top three quarterback, not that Lamar Jackson's making the most money in the NFL, but when you have a quarterback taking that big a piece of the pie, it does make it harder to build a supporting cast around him. I think Newsome's done great.
Yeah, I can't think of many general managers, honestly, that have done a better job than Ozzie Newsome. Again, they missed on Rashad Bateman, although he's had some moments, you know, last year, more so than this year. But, if I'm going to put the failures on, or the reasons why the Ravens haven't broken through is Lamar hasn't played well in big games. Obviously, Mark Andrews fumbled last year. And then also, I think part of what Gary mentioned in his lead-up to the question, or the last caller's question, was, look, they're in a division with Burrow. They're in a division with Burrow. They're in a conference with Mahomes. They're in a conference with Josh Allen. Even if Lamar and the supporting cast plays great just because of the talent that occupies the rest of the AFC, you're going to run into some years where you don't break through and get to the Super Bowl.
Somebody on the Twitch is saying he's never had a true number one receiver. Okay.
I think that's fair.
I think Zay Flowers is pretty dang good. I wouldn't put him in the elite tier.
Yeah, Hollywood wasn't a one. Bateman
now,
didn't work out.
Andrews has had moments, though, where he's been a top three tight end in the NFL. Not anymore,
agreed.
But, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, he certainly did. Mahomes has won Super Bowls without a one. Like, he's won back-to-back Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill, who are his top receivers there. So, like, I don't think Pat Mahomes over the last couple of years, when he had Tyreek, different story, has a better receiver room than Lamar. Josh Allen had won a Super Bowl, but I think he and Lamar Jackson's careers are kind of intertwined, for better or worse. I mean, he had Diggs for a while, but he's really taken off post-Diggs. Currently doesn't have a true like wide receiver one. So I don't know if I would really ding the roster building of Ozzie Newsome and the Ravens, saying that he's never had good pass catchers. Like I couldn't make that leap. He's never had Jamar Chase. He's never had Justin Jefferson. He's never had Puka Nacua. But I wouldn't look at the pass catchers and the targets Lamar Jackson's had and be like, well, yeah, that's an inferior group.
Yeah, because I think it's definitely fair to say he hasn't had a quote-unquote wide receiver one. But, I mean, Hollywood Brown was really good there when he was healthy. Mark Andrews, as you said, like for a period of time, not all that long ago, was maybe the second-best tight end in the league behind Travis Kelce. And Zay Flowers is over 1,000 yards and a Pro Bowler last year. So it's not like they're dealing with, you know, a bunch of bums for Lamar to throw to. They're quality receivers. I would even say he's got multiple plus receiving options, but not a wide receiver one to the Texas point.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line. How about the criticism that C.J. Stroud is getting for this soundbite on his growing body? Are we body-shaming C.J. Stroud?
Stroud!
Is Matt Burke going to be calling plays on Sunday? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Sans Joe.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe's having user error right now. 713-780-3776. Get to the text and stuff in a minute. Junkie on the text line, we have a history of backup quarterbacks beating us. Do you think it will happen this week? I've been on record all week saying I still believe that the Ravens will beat the Houston Texans on Sunday. I think it's going to be an ugly, low-scoring game. Ravens win by like 3 or 4.
Yeah, I'm on the other side, but look, I mean, there was a period not that long ago. Now, granted, the Texans were in a rebuilding phase for some of it, where Derrick Henry went like three straight games where he averaged 200 yards rushing. So if the Texans' offense is anemic, let's not forget, like they had four red zone trips coming into the Titans game, then went three quarters without reaching the red zone before eventually having an offensive bonanza in the fourth quarter. Like, if that offense outside of the fourth quarter shows up and Derrick Henry goes nuts like he's done so many times, and let's not forget the Texans' weakness on defense is runs right up the middle, then certainly the Ravens could out-ugly the Texans and win like a 17-13 game, but I'm still picking the Texans.
Mahomes had Travis Kelce in his prime. That's the same as a number one receiver. I wouldn't argue that. I think it's a fair point. At this point in their careers, I'd rather have Lamar over CJ. I don't think there's one single person that would say
that. No one argued otherwise.
Yeah, I think we all agree that we would have Lamar over CJ. In fact, if you would rather have CJ over Lamar, we'd love to hear from you. 713-780.
You just made the list!
3776. Lamar has had Henry for a year plus four games. Give me a break. But, yeah, I don't think Newsom and then DaCosta have built a poor team around Lamar. Andrews was never better than Kittle, LOL. I think Kittle's been better over the course of his career. But at their high watermarks, I think Mark Andrews was right there. I mean, Mark Andrews has had over a 100-catch season. Kittle has never done that. 1,300-yard year, 1 year for Andrews. Kittle did that 1 year. Kittle's had one season where he's had double-digit touchdowns. Andrews has had two. And had another one where he had nine. One first-team All-Pro for Andrews. Kittle's done it twice. And then Kittle's probably had the better career. I wouldn't push back on that. But their pinnacle, their peak, I think pretty even between Andrews and Kittle. What do you think, Joe?
I like Kittle over Andrews personally. I think
their
Andrews
peak?
Is at their peak, yeah. I think Kittle's
think
been a better
pretty even.
I mean, Kittle to me has always just been such a weapon for the 49ers. Like, I trust him more over time. I think Andrews has always been good, but I don't feel like we've ever put him in like that upper echelon category like we put Kittle.
I completely disagree. He
really?
Was literally an All-Pro 1 year.
Like, you think with I always feel like it was always Kelce, Kittle, and then there was a gap, and Andrews was always the next guy, but I always felt like there was a sizable gap there between those top two and then Andrews.
Look, I think Kittle's had a better career. I don't want anybody to get this twisted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Andrews' best year, he went 107 catches, 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, all AP first team.
It's pretty good.
Kittle's best year was 88 catches, almost 1,400 yards, 5 touchdowns. Now, that wasn't even his AP first. Like, this is why I think he's had a better career. Because, like, that season, his best statistical season, wasn't even a year where he was all AP first team. He had an AP first team, 65 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns, 85 catches, over 1,000 yards, 5 touchdowns. Those were his AP first team selections. So at their peak, I think Andrews is right there. But Kittle has been able to sustain it over a longer period of time, at least in my opinion.
What do you think the gap is, or how much of a difference maker it is if the quarterback situation's flipped?
Significant.
Because, I mean, Andrews has had Lamar, I think, for his entire career, maybe a year of Flacco. But, I mean, Kittle's been out there with Garoppolo, Purdy, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, like whatever's out there. Like, I would say that to me is also part of this conversation, is that while Andrews is very, very good, he's had the benefit of much better quarterback play. So statistically, I wonder what Kittle would have looked like if he was in Baltimore versus Andrews being there.
Yeah, that's a good point. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Willie, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Willie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I like to say that the difference between Kansas City and Baltimore is the defense. Kansas City last year had the number two overall defense. Baltimore defense wasn't all that good. It let them down. They couldn't stop Buffalo at all last year. And this year, they wanted the worst defense in the team. They got to be able to stop somebody before Lamar's going to win. They never had any cornerbacks. Stanley, he sucked. Then nobody want him but Baltimore. And whenever they get some linebackers besides Roquan, maybe they'll start winning. And thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I get where Willie's coming from, Jeremy, but I don't necessarily totally agree, to be honest with you.
No, but I disagree, actually. I think that's probably a prisoner of the moment take because they had the worst defense in the NFL this year. I just pulled up there. Since Lamar Jackson took over as, like, their dude, which was 2019, that was the first year he led Baltimore in receiving yards. And, like, he's been their quarterback since 2019. Took over for Flacco. He's the guy, 2019 and on. Their defenses have been third best, second best, 19th best, third best, first best, ninth best, 32nd this year. So in all but two of his years, they've had a top 10 defense. In four of those years, they've had a top three defense.
Yeah, and now, but even those top years, I can't remember which years it is exactly. But I mean, they've had some playoff moments where I do feel like in the playoffs, the defense has let them down for sure. Like it hasn't been, you know, to be as expected. But yeah, I mean, even when, you know, they were a good defense, and then they went and got Roquan Smith a couple years ago. Like they've always had dudes out there. This year, I don't know if this year is all injuries or if there's some aging happening. I think it's a combo. I know what they brought in, Jair Alexander this offseason. Like, they've tried to fix this defense and add to it, just hasn't looked good this year. This is the first time where I feel like they're a detriment to Lamar. Even though you said, one of those years they were the 19th best defense in the NFL. Yeah. Even that year, I would imagine, like, if we look at it overall, like, it's not anywhere close to this. This year, it's dreadful.
They missed the playoffs that year, too. They went 8-9 that year. Lamar probably got hurt that year. Yeah, he only played in four games. That was the year that he got hurt. So, like, he got hurt, bad defense. They were 8-9. Lamar Jackson's he's lost. Like, he's been in five playoffs in his entire career. He is – obviously, he's been eliminated in all five of those because he's never won a Super Bowl or has been to a Super Bowl. I just pulled up the game that they got eliminated in. They got eliminated his first playoff game. Or not his first playoff game. His first playoff elimination. They got beaten by the Titans. Mike Vrabel, Derrick Henry. They beat them 28-12. That's offense. The next year, they got eliminated by Buffalo. They lost 17-3. That's offense. His next playoff exit, they lost to the Bengals 24-17. Scored 7 points in the second half. That's probably more offense. Their best year, when they had the number one defense in the NFL, I think this was the Zay Flowers game, Kansas City beat Baltimore 17-10 in Baltimore. That's on the offense. They only scored 3 points in the second, third, and fourth quarter combined. Offense. Last year, 27-25, that was the Mark Andrews drop two-point conversion. That one probably can't pin on the offense. Mm-hmm. But every playoff elimination that Lamar Jackson's had in his career, the offense has been the reason to blame other than last season.
And that's why, I mean, that's why Lamar Jackson's been, I think, rightfully criticized so much. People have called him James Harden for MVPs and not showing up in the playoffs. And I think that last year helped that narrative. But overall, like, I get it. I get why people view it that way.
All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the Texan side of this. C.J. Stroud's being criticized for his comments yesterday about putting on muscle, and he's a little bit slower now. How about Matt Burke? He might not call plays on Sunday. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Look, you need a new vehicle, right? You need a pre-owned vehicle. Well, Monument Chevrolet is the place to do it. You've been pushing it off all week. Yeah, we'll worry about that on the weekend. That's fine. Go out to Monument Chevrolet, 225 and Bellway 8. They'll be happy you stopped on by. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is the dealer you can trust. You don't like to do the car shop. It's stressful. The salesman's trying to pull one over on you. They're trying to tack on all these additional warranties you don't know whether you should have, whether or not you should have. They're going to pressure you. They're going to hard sell you. That doesn't happen at Monument Chevrolet. You're going to be at ease. You're going to have peace of mind. They're transparent, and they're not going to hassle you with all that stuff. That's why Monument Chevrolet's been in business for 5 decades. That's why they've helped generations of families get into new vehicles. And then word of mouth, these families keep coming back. Friends of the family, they're going to Monument Chevrolet. It's just this cycle of goodness. It's a family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a great culture, and you can feel it the moment you step foot in their showroom. You can feel it the moment you step foot on their lot. It's a welcoming feeling. Get a fair deal and a fast deal without wasting your time in these aggravating, stressful negotiations that no one wants to do. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges with Monument Chevrolet. If you've been waiting to upgrade your ride, now's the time to do it. Visit them online, monumentchevrolet.com. Check out their entire inventory at monumentchevrolet.com, or just go visit them in person, 225 at Bellway 8. They'll be glad you did at Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.